Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to AGLCA's weekly radio show. This week, Roger Daines and I will be filling in for Steve and Janice Cromer, who are off on a very big, important meeting, so it's just the two of us today. And what we're going to try to do is go through, we have a free email tip series, and we're going to talk through some of the tips, and if you have any questions, please feel free to call in. The toll-free number is 877-497-1815. And we might just talk about some other things, too, if we get sidetracked. But this is our main idea is to go through the tips one at a time, and hopefully they'll be helpful for you. So Roger's going to start with tip number one, which is...
Educate Roger? Yourself. The thing that I was trying to do is with the, you know, like I could keep saying, the cats are away. It's time for the mice to play, but you're so responsible.
Well...
Take away all the fun.
Go off on a tangent if you want. They can't do anything about it.
Educate yourself. Well, if we're getting ready to take this trip, you know, doing a loop or anything like that, one of the biggest things that you need to do is educate yourself. If you're a brand new cruiser, if you're a cruiser that's been doing it forever, the first thing that you're going to need to do is educate yourself, not only about the kind of boat that you're doing, but just boat safety and things like that. And one of the things that I've done, and this is something that Janice and Steve Cromer both kind of talked me into, was to be involved with the Power Squadron. And there's a lot of classes that you can take, and they're very informative. And there is a small fee to join the Power Squadron, but they do a lot of cruisings and raft ups and dinners and all kinds of stuff. And that's just a wealth of knowledge. And, gosh, if you just get really, really bored, one of the good things to do is just go online, and you can go to their website, which is www.usps.org, and that's the United States Power Squadron. And just phenomenal amount of information out there. Lots of classes that you can take. I started taking the piloting class. It's like a navigational class. And it was really, really interested and had to buy all the tools and all that cool stuff. So I had a great time doing that. The other thing is trip planning, which is going to be kind of carried over into a lot of different tips that we're going to go through today. And the biggest thing about your trip planning is make sure that you're not putting yourself, and I'm probably going to step on your toes here, Beth, put yourself on too much of a schedule. I mean, it's going to be fun. There's lots of things to see. And one of the things, honestly, my first rendezvous was last year in October in Joe Willen, which was super fun. And one of the things that I noticed about everybody that spoke about it was just the amount of fun they had and the people that were involved. That that's the great thing about our organization is the people that are involved. And you're going to make friends, lifelong friends along the trip, and just hang on, have people over for happy hour, which is never really an hour. It always turns into more than like a day if you're coming on my boat. But yeah, it's a lot of real fun things to do. And another place that you can get a lot of great information is www.greatloop.org.
Hey,
and we have, yeah, pretty smart, huh? And we have a really wonderful forum that you can go to, and they talk about anything and everything boating-wise. It's amazing the amount of information that's out there as well. I've learned quite a bit from just reading the forums on a daily basis. Let's see, what's one of the next things that we'll be talking about? And that's your little section.
The best
boat
for the loop.
Type of boat. Yeah.
Apparently, according to this tip, the smallest boat on which you can spend extended periods of time and still live comfortably. So apparently, you can really do the loop on just about anything. We've had people do the loop on jet skis, rowboats, houseboats, everything up to huge trawlers. But the crucial thing that you have to remember is that you are going to be going under some stationary bridges. So you have to make sure that if you're on a powerboat that you have the ability to get under a bridge, which the lowest one is 19.1 feet. Or if you have a sailboat, which Mr. Daines has, you have to, is it called step the mast? Unstep the mast, okay. To be able to get under the bridges. And also, I guess if you're going with somebody, you have to make sure that the boat is big enough that you can get away from each other when necessary. Because I've heard many, many married couples say, you know, that this brings you together and it's a wonderful thing for your marriage and all that. But we all know that there are going to be times when one of you is going to go overboard if you can't get away from each other. So keep that in mind when you're picking out your boat. Yeah, have a dinghy and go make your husband or your wife go sit in the dinghy or the dog or whatever. But anyway, that's the key thing is just make sure that you have enough room to do it comfortably. But like I said, we've had people do it on jet skis. We've had people do it on rowboats, houseboats. Just about anything that'll float, you can take it around the loop.
One of the things, I live on my boat, and one of the things that I figured and found out is you've got to be able to really simplify your life. And when you go into someone's house, you see a lot of knickknacks and things like that on the house. It makes the house homey. Well, on the boat, everything that's on my boat, I use pretty much daily. I mean, you have to get rid of a lot of the, I don't want to say niceties, because I do have a TV, but I don't get TV. I watch a lot of DVDs. But, you know, it's just things like that. So you really got to, and one of the other tips was on laundromat. You know, it just depends on how, if you're willing to save your quarters, you know, and walk down the dock with your dirty laundry, which if you're a boater, you see it all the time. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think that's one of the key things. You have to simplify and then, excuse me, get a boat that is going to have enough room for the things that you feel are essential to your life. And everybody has different things that they think, oh, I can't live without my books, or I can't live without my paints, or I can't live without X, Y, Z. Make sure that you have room at least enough for that. But the knickknacks and the nonsense, the non-essentials, you're just going to have to get rid of those or leave them at home. I mean, you don't have to.
Like a wife?
I think some people think that's essential, Roger.
I don't really think that was a great comment
at all.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
Let's see. How about...
Boss lady.
I'm not the boss lady.
You are the boss lady.
Our next tip, young man.
See?
Do it now. That's what it says. Do it now. Don't put it off.
Just do it. Is that the one? That's not the one. Do it now. Coming up, seasonability.
Oh, what are we up to? Number three? Number four?
Yeah, number three. We'll teach you how to count later. Well, this is a great one because Mother's Day is coming. And so one of the things that you have to keep in mind is to respect your mother. And what we're talking about mother here is Mother Nature. Because one thing that the sea or the waterway or whatever is not is forgiving. Mother Nature does not care. I don't care where you've been, what you know. If you try to underestimate Mother Nature, she will put you in your place really, really quick. So just make sure that you're actually, you know, go on NOAA, go on all the different websites and things and try to find out exactly what the weather's going to be doing while you're out there, because it could make this wonderful, beautiful trip that you're about to embark on not be so wonderful and beautiful anymore. And we do, if you look on the website, our website, we have a, there's different times that's ideal to do the loop. I mean, gosh, you don't want to be up north in the Great Lakes in the wintertime, especially if you're from Florida, because I'm a southern boy, and I just do not like freezing my rear end off and having the burr factor, you know. So what they say is they say leave Florida in March or April, and the best thing to do is try to spend the summer or the winter as you were down there in the nice sunny Florida, because, gosh, what's it get down to, 70, 80s in the winter down in Miami? That's the kind of way to do it, in my opinion. And then they say the next one is be the bay in May. So that's just the Chesapeake. So when you're up there, you can go up there, and it's not everything's thawed out. You know, the leaves have just finished turning, and you're starting to get the spring and everything. So it's really nice up there at that time. And don't arrive in New York before June. Not real sure why that is, because I've never been to New York, but that's what they say. You got any input on that one, Beth? I don't know. Why would you not want to go to New York before June?
I guess because the weather is still very changeable. You can actually get a snowstorm on Easter Sunday up there. We had a blizzard one year on Easter, and that was Long Island. So I think that's probably why. It just is very, it can get very cold very quickly, and the winds can pick up, and you can run into all kinds of nasty weather up until,
I would say
May, but according to them, it's June. Once you hit June, then you only have to worry about the occasional hurricane, which doesn't usually go up that far. But
that's true.
I'd gone up to
Maine in June, and it was still like 50, 60 degrees up there, and that was like summertime for them.
Maine is a long way up there.
It absolutely is. And then don't arrive in Mobile before November. And don't forget to ask your insurance carrier for the date because of the, like she said, the hurricane season. And that was really weird. When I first moved down here to the south, I didn't realize that they actually had a hurricane season. But they do. It's kind of like fall, spring, and hurricane season. So just make sure that you're totally involved in that and understand with that. Make sure that you check with your insurance carrier because there's going to be certain latitudes and longitudes that you're not supposed to go over or beyond during these particular times. And it changes depending upon what section of the loop that you're on. So make sure that you get with your insurance carrier prior to you heading out. The next tip, and that's the one that she was trying to hit on, is do it now. So now that we're doing it now, we're going to let Beth do it now.
Yes. Well, that's about it for the tip. It's do it now. Don't put it off. You never know what's going to happen. There are a lot of people who say, you know, I'm saving up for it, or I'm going to wait till I retire. If it's a dream that you have, you really want to do it now, because things can change in a heartbeat, and, you know, you don't want to think, oh, my gosh, the worst could happen, but you just don't know. You don't know your health, the economy, the ICW. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with that, but there is a slim possibility that years from now it'll be too shallow to do the loop. We hope that doesn't happen, but it could. So if you want to do it now. Don't put it off. And it's a doable dream at this point, and anybody that wants to do it really should do it. And like we said before, as far as the boat, I mean, you don't need a big fancy trawler to do it. You just need something comfortable that's going to, obviously, if it's going to run, it's going to take you around the loop. So don't put off till tomorrow.
Yeah, what you can do today. I'm trying to look for something. I've got this saying that I'm looking for right now. It's wonderful, and it's pretty much exactly what you said. You know, don't put off what you can do today. As I would hate to be laying on my deathbed wondering, gosh, I wish I would have. You know, I don't want to be that guy. And I'm sure
there's
going to be a
lot of people. Yeah, well, they always say that you mostly regret what you didn't do more than what you did do, so.
Absolutely, and that's what I'm saying. I would hate to have had the opportunity to do the loop and just forget about it all and not have done it because, like you said, what if? Or I got to get this. I got to get this particular antenna on my boat, or my, you know, and the time never comes. You can what if yourself to death, you know?
Yeah. And there are people out there cruising with their kids, just doing homeschooling on the boat, and, you know, those kids are going to have memories that just are going to last them forever, that they did this wonderful trip that, I mean, just it's just an incredible thing to me that people give their children that opportunity to do this. And the kids are never going to forget it. And it's a lot nicer than going and sitting in a schoolroom.
That's very true. We bumped into a young couple, in Joe Wheeler last year in October that had their family with them. I think they had 3 or 4 kids with them. They were the most well-behaved kids, the most well-adjusted, and so smart because instead of, like, just reading about, like, the Civil War, for instance, they actually have been to the battlefields.
Right.
I mean, these are things that most kids just miss. It was wonderful. I mean, these were such wonderful kids, too. I think it was right around Halloween. They were dressing up. They were making their little costumes on board and everything. It's just amazing how living on a boat will change everything. And it's just, it was wonderful. It was wonderful.
Yeah. And they have to be well-behaved. And when you think about it, you just, when you have 5 or 6 people on a boat, you just can't be raising hell. You've got to.
Because the dinghy's only so big.
And you've got to realize that there's safety issues involved, too. You know, it's
just, true.
And you have to behave yourself. But like you said, they get to learn things firsthand. They get to see, you know, this is where this battle happened, or this is where this historic event took place, rather than just reading about it in a book. And it's, so if you have kids and you're worried about it not being good for them, it's the best thing in the world for them. And there you go. That's my philosophy. And what are we up to next?
I think the next one is stop.
Stop.
Common sense. I think it's common sense. Well, I had an old buddy of mine one time tell me that if common sense were so common, we'd all have it. But apparently that's not the case. And what they mean by when in doubt, stop, it's, again, taking the weather into consideration, mechanical issues, all kinds of stuff, navigational problems, anything that you might think that, oh, my goodness, this could be a deal breaker, stop. Don't go any further. Take your time. You're not on a schedule. You know, just stop, figure it out, get some help, you know, and go through it and figure it out. I'm looking through here. So there's a code of conduct, if you will, that applies. You don't know what you're looking at when you're looking at navigational issues. If you don't know what you're looking at, stop. If you're not sure where you're supposed to be going, stop.
Stop. You're not sure about the weather, stop.
Yeah, if you're not sure about the water or the buoys or the markers or the beacons or anything like that, that something may be confusing or whatever, just stop. I mean, there's no need to try to man through it, for lack of a better word, and get yourself in a situation that you're going to be regretting later, you know? That would be bad.
Yeah. And if you have a schedule, just really toss it out. I mean, you can't, that's one of the main things. You can't really stick to a schedule. You just have to go with the flow, so we said in the 60s, and just, you know, like you said, if something looks, excuse me?
60, my goodness.
If something looks iffy or you're not sure, whatever, just stop. Take the time, relax, enjoy wherever it is you are, and just wait until you're sure that it's safe, the weather's safe, the water's deep enough, whatever. But don't rush it, which I think is also another. Might have actually been the next tip. Just go slowly. Enjoy, appreciate. Huh?
Wait, definitely. And the next one was like weather issues. It says, it's an old salt once said, a good mariner never goes into bad weather, just encounters it, which kind of makes sense. You know,
yep.
If you're smart enough about it when you're out there, you can kind of avoid it, especially with today's technology, you know. But if you've got to encounter it safely and wisely, and, you know, stop, hunker down, close the boat up, go down below, read a book, you know, take your time. Like you said, take your time. Mechanical issues. Now, this is one that I've gotten myself caught up with when I was on my trip down to Jacksonville, Florida. Thank goodness I have a sailboat, so when the engine decided that it wasn't going to work anymore, I could continue to go because I had sails to back me up. But sight, sound, smell, touch, four of the five senses, you know, you can use when you're talking about mechanical issues. If it doesn't look right and there's a strange rattle, pinging noise or something like that, or, gosh, one of the things that got me was a funky smell, just stop. I mean, that's the big deal right there. Yeah. Stop.
If
you start hearing pinging
bad,
or
stop.
Yeah, something bad just happened, you know, stop. And normally, if something's warm to the touch, and that's like if you normally, like, hot, and, you know, you go down there and the engine's just smoking hot, something like that, you might want to stop because that means something's not working. Your coolant's not working or your raw water pump's not working or whatever. The biggest thing is don't weigh anchor if you think that you've got any problems at all. I mean, the wisest thing to do, again, is stop, hang out, enjoy the weather, enjoy the area. Gosh, the people are always going to be there. One of the fun things about being a boater is the boating community is so small. And everyone in it is so wonderful and nice. I mean, I've had people literally give me a bilge pump because I was having bilge pump problems with no strings attached. Just, hey, I'll help you out. Here's one of my extras. And it's just a great, great thing. So if you've got any questions or any doubts at all, just stop. Really, don't try to, I hate to say man through it, but don't try to man through it, soldier up or whatever, cowboy up. Just stop, enjoy it, fix it, take your time, and even though you, as the husband, might think that you're the captain, you got to remember that the wife is always the admiral, and she can outrank you at any time.
This is true. And I don't know if it's on our list of tips or not, but another thing that's a good idea is to actually learn how to maintain your boat as much as possible yourself. like if mechanical things go wrong, it's a good thing to know how to fix them yourself and not be, just throw up your hands and say, oh, my goodness, I don't know what's wrong. And it's a good thing for both the husband and the wife to know how to fix things. It's not,
definitely,
you know, the wife shouldn't just say, oh, that's a man's job, whatever. You should both know. I mean, God forbid something happens to your husband, then you've got to fix something. So you should definitely know not only how to fix things on the boat, but how to navigate and how to plot a course and how to do all those things. Pull the boat into the dock. Both of you should know how to do those things.
Gosh, I heard a nightmare story about a couple that was out cruising, and something had happened to the husband. I don't know if he had a heart attack or what it was, but the lady had gotten on the VHF. Thank goodness she knew how to use the radio. But she called up the Coast Guard and couldn't tell them what type of boat she had. It was just, I'm on a white boat in the middle of the water.
Yeah.
I mean, couldn't,
oh, no. And it's amazing. What we were talking about in the beginning, it just, people can get on a boat and not think twice about the fact that they've never taken a class, they know nothing about navigation, they know nothing about anything, but they think they can jump on the boat and go somewhere. And you would never do that with a car. I mean, not only is it not just because it's illegal, but it's foolish. I mean, people realize that with the car, and they don't seem to realize that with a boat. And I can't understand that.
Common sense was so common.
Huh?
If common sense were so common, we'd all have it.
Yeah. But so it's important, educate yourself definitely about as many things as possible before you start out. And then you'll have a safe and a wonderful trip.
Definitely. And the next tip was go slow, like you started on, which just totally makes sense.
And I think we have another one that says loop a little now and loop a little later, which if you want to do the loop but you don't want to do the whole thing at once, and many people don't do the whole thing at once, there's nothing wrong with that. If you want to take a month each summer for 12 years to get it done, that's fine. Just there's no hard and fast rules for it. Basically, you just do it the way you want to do it. Do it on the boat you want to do it on. Do it the way you want to do it. And just enjoy it. And don't hold yourself to any preconceived notion of what this trip is supposed to be, because it's different for everybody.
That's true. That is true. The other one was make sure most members, when they get out there and they get started and everything, they purchase themselves a burgee. Now, believe it or not, that little piece of cloth is going to be a huge welcoming mat for so many people, because it's very well recognized, you know, all over the loop, all over the waterways. And when you see that familiar flag, you know that you've got a friend, you know, that you can go up to and talk to and hang out with and ask questions to and, you know, share their knowledge with and things like that. We got two different types of flags. We've got the white one, the classic one, which everyone gets when you first, well, not everyone gets, you can get when you join. And that's just kind of like the, hey, I'm doing the loop flag. And then you've got the people that have completed the loop, and that's our gold standard burgee. It's really not gold, it's gold color. But those are the people that are the wealth of knowledge. And
then we actually have one more. We have the platinum burgee for people who have done the loop more than once.
Wow. I couldn't even imagine. That's amazing.
Yep.
So make sure that you stop. If you fly your burgee everywhere you go. I, like I said, live on my boat, and I had bumped into a couple. I was at the docks one day, and there was a boat had come in. And I helped them up their lines. You know how you do. And next thing I know, I had my burgee flying off my boat, and they had come up to me, and they said, hey, we didn't realize that you were with the loop. Come to find out, they were loopers too. And it was just really neat. We all sat around, took them to go get drinks up at the local bar, and it was just nice. We had a really good evening, and it was just amazing how, gosh, I think they were from Florida somewhere. And just regardless of where you're from or what age you are, you've got something in common that you can share with each other. It was amazing. So
yeah,
if you've got yourself a
burgee,
definitely fly your burgee. If you don't have a burgee, I would highly recommend getting one. Like I said, it's a welcome mat. You know, hey, guys, come on down. I'm a friend. And it's always nice to know that you got a friend when you're out there on the water.
Yep. And our sponsors have burgees as well. So when you're cruising along and you see a marina and they've got a blue or red or a green burgee with AGLCA on it, then you know that they're looking out for you, and they definitely support your efforts and support our group. And so anytime you can, you should give them your business, because it's
definitely.
Their part of your community.
One of the things I would do also is, while I was on the loop, go to the webpage again, and you can go to the Looper Locator. And on the right-hand side of our webpage, there's a sponsors table and a map of the sponsors. You can go on there, and you can actually find out where each and every one of our sponsors are. So as you're going up the loop, you can click on one of their Virgies, whichever one's closest to you, and you can find out. It has click-through capability, which is kind of cool, because you can just open up their Virgie, and it will tell you that it's Rogers Marina. You click on it, and it will go directly to their website, and you can find out what their specials are. You can find out what their phone number is. So if you don't want to get on the radio and call them on Channel 16, you can always call them directly on the phone. It's great. I mean, there's a lot of super, super things on the website. Make sure you're using that when you're out there about. And we just started up, or have we gotten that totally implemented yet, Beth, the app yet?
Not yet, no. But it will be coming.
That's coming. That's going to be very cool. I'm so excited about that. So, yeah, make sure that you keep your head and eyes open. Put it on a swivel for the app that we've got. It's going to be very, very cool. I highly recommend everyone taking a look at that when that finally comes out. What do we got next?
Oh, I don't know. I think I've gotten lost.
We're kind of jumping
something
around
you should
here.
Never do when you're out on the loop. Something about keep in touch through technology. I'm not even sure what it says. Part of the intrigue of cruising the Great Loop is being out there on your own, but don't forget you can share with your family and friends, which is one of the things that the Looper Locator is good for, actually. You can give people the ability to go on their computer and actually look at the route that you're taking and look at exactly where you are as you're looping, and they can look at pictures of the loop if they go on Google Earth, which I guess Looper Locator goes directly to Google Earth. And Google Earth has lots of photos, so you can actually see not only where on the loop your friends and family are at the current time, but then you can look at different photographs of things that they're seeing. So that's kind of a cool thing.
It is very cool.
And
yeah,
I think
you're the technology queen, too. I mean, you're like so brilliant when it comes to all that stuff. It's amazing.
Oh, yes. Brilliant.
Go ahead. You were saying something.
Oh, I was just going to say we're kind of coming to the end of our half hour, and we want to remind people. I know you want to keep talking, but, you know, we do have preparations for the rendezvous that's coming up, and next week we will actually be broadcasting live from Norfolk, Virginia, and we're going to have Ted Stelle, who is with Skipper Bob Publications. I know he's going to be on talking with us, and hopefully we'll be able to snag a couple members, and they'll tell us what the rendezvous is like for them and why they're there and what they hope to get out of it. And the whole Homeport crew will be there, Janice and Steve and Roger, and actually Kim Russo will be there as well. So that should be a good show. And in the meantime, be sure to keep checking out the website at www.greatloop.org. And if you're not a member, we certainly encourage you to join. There's lots of great stuff on the website that you don't get to see unless you're a member, and you don't get to go to the rendezvous unless you're a member. So definitely keep
plates.
That in mind.
And we're selling plates.
We're
I think everybody needs America's
everybody
Great Loop Cruises Association plates. They're so awesome. But it's not too late to sign up to go to the rendezvous. There's like 8 days, 1 hour, 31 minutes, and 8, 7, 6 seconds left before you can sign up. So look on the thing, sign up and come. It's going to be a great, great time. Norfolk's a beautiful city. We're going to be in a nice, nice location. And the city is completely waiting for us, and they're excited to have us there. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Looking forward to it.
Definitely.
So I guess that's it.
All righty.
Unless you have a last little tidbit.
I always have
throw.
Something to say, you know, maybe. That's okay. We'll go ahead and close it down. But it was very nice talking to everybody today. And Beth, thank you very much for yet another wonderful show.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye.